another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour with your co-host Chris
and Jonathan.
Glad you guys are listening for tonight. We have a lot to talk about. Lots been going on this weekend between the NBA Finals, the Pacquiao cheap shot.
Yep.
The sad stuff at Auburn. I mean, it's been a lot to talk about. You know, you can always reach us via Twitter at Brothers Layman. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com.
Hit us up. Take all questions, comments, concerns. You know, anything you want to say, go ahead and hit us up. We'll gladly hit you back. You can also find us at www.blackisonline.com. So hit us up with all anything you want to know, anything you guys, you know, got locked up in your chest that you want to get off your chest. Gladly hear it. Glad to hear it. So let's get started.
NBA Finals. Been settled, y'all.
Man, that was a good game.
It was a good game. We're going to have Oklahoma City, Miami. But, yeah, Miami came out, game seven. Leave it out on the line. Once again, they did the damn thing.
Well, once again, Boston blew the lead. Happened again. I said it. They don't stop blowing these leads. They weren't going to win. What happened yesterday? They had a solid lead going in at halftime, and they blew it.
Yeah, it just seems to happen with them. Miami showed its strength as the better team coming in. LeBron just does what he does all the time. Dude is averaging 33 points in the series, 11 boards, 4 assists, playing about 46 minutes a game.
Yeah, I got to give LeBron his props. He's doing the thing. He was doing the damn thing during the series. So I can't hate on LeBron. You know, he was pulling through. He was clutch. You know, he was doing what he was supposed to do. He was finally playing like the player I always thought he could be, you know, potential-wise. This is the LeBron James that I was expecting to see, you know, with everybody crowning him the damn king since he came out of high school. This is the player that I was expecting to see. You know, he was stepping up. He was doing it. So, you know, congrats, LeBron. Good job.
Yeah, he came through it. I mean, after game six, putting up that 45-15, 5-assist game where he just damn near, he just took over and was like, we ain't losing in Boston tonight.
Yeah, man.
Chucks down and then comes back. I mean, he shoots only 9-21, but 31, 12 boards. Now, he was almost winning the game without any assists, which I saw the stat was like, wow, that was kind of shocking. But played all 48 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I heard before the game he said he was preparing to play all 48 minutes. Game like that, I mean, from the quote-unquote best player in the league, I mean, what else do you expect? Of course he's going to have to play all 48 minutes. He's going to have to give it all he got. But one player that did step up that I think made the biggest difference in the game was Chris Bosh. Came off the bench for 31 minutes, hit three big threes for the team, which was very unexpected, and finished with 19 points. So, I mean, he stepped up really big, you know, coming back from the injury and everything. And to me, he was the key to the victory.
Yeah, Chris Bosh showed why he was missed so much. 19-8. I mean, he was hitting threes. Hit like three threes back to back.
3 or 4.
It was just, I was like, wow, Chris Bosh hitting that stroke. I wasn't sure he was going. I thought it was fool's gold, but they kept it on him. And, of course, the player who now seems to be the number two on the team, Dwayne Wade, played 44 minutes.
He stepped up big time in the second half after having a slow first half.
I don't know what it is with him in first half. He's been able to get away with it, but I would not, for Miami's sake, they can't do that all the time. But, yeah, he's been stepping up. You know, he gets shut down, all of a sudden makes like one or two baskets before the end of the half, and then just comes out gunning.
Yeah.
Looking like the Dwayne Wade of, well, someone like Dwayne Wade of old, but just being that number two guy. Boston tried to make it difficult for him, but it seemed like it only works for 24 minutes, and not long enough.
Well, I mean, they had a good, solid team effort tonight. You know, besides the big three, you had Shane Battier, who had 12 points, hit 4 threes. You had Mario Chalmers, who had 9 points, 7 assists. So, you know, dudes around them did step up and play well. You know, I've always been talking about their depth, but, I mean, they only went really 6 deep for the night. So, clearly they're not that deep of a team. But on the other side of the spectrum, You know, I tweeted before the game. I knew, I had a feeling that Rondo was just going to go stupid this game. And he proved me right, going for a triple-double, 22 points, 10 boards, 14 assists. But I think the thing that really killed Boston was 2 points from their whole bench. That led to – that's not going to cut in the Eastern Conference Final. You know what I'm saying? I've been saying and preaching, role players are the guys who make the difference come, you know, the big games and come game time. And that's why you got to have solid role players around you. Miami's role players stepped up more than Boston's, and, you know, we saw the outcome of the game.
Yeah, looking at it, I'm actually pretty shocked that Marquise Daniels didn't play at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Petras got 22 minutes, but outside of that, that's it. Hot, you know, Ryan Holland showed out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And Keon Dillon only played six. I mean, that was very shocking. And you could tell, it seemed like they just ran out of gas at the end.
Yeah, they're an older team, so... And I knew, I had a feeling that playing all those game sevens was eventually going to catch up with him, and, you know, maybe it did.
You know, Doc Rivers took a risk playing them not many minutes, but man, I give my hat out to them, man. They came farther than anybody else. You know, people were doubting that they were going to even get out the first round.
Yeah.
In every series, it didn't look like they were going to do anything, but they just kept proving people wrong, even though they kept making it easy for us to argue that point.
Yeah, clearly.
Making it more difficult on themselves. But nobody was thinking of Game 7 in this series.
It was an awesome series. You know, I was kind of happy to see it go to 7 games. That's what I wanted to see. So, you know, unfortunately, Boston had to go out. You know, I saw towards the end of the game, KG was giving some hugs and some daps to his players on his team. And it got me to thinking, you know, he is a free agent this year. I saw him hug Ray Allen, and they had a little bit of a moment. Ray Allen's also a free agent. My wondering is this the final hurrah for KG? You know, and if it is, you know, he's definitely, in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer, no question. And, you know, it'd be sad to see a player like that go, but everybody's time has to come to an end.
Yeah, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. He and Ray Allen. This time is wondering for Boston. I mean, they got a lot of that coming off the cap. I mean, technically they could come back, but it's going to have to be for a lot less money.
A lot less money.
Maybe
yeah.
Only 2 years at the most. 1 year deal with an option for a second or 2 years, but that's about it. And they have some room. I mean, even if they're not brought back, then what do you do with Paul Pierce? I mean, you want him to be. You don't want to trade him just on the strength that you want to see this dude retire as a Celtic.
Well, of course.
You know, but sometimes you gotta do what's best for the team overall.
Well, Paul Pierce, I mean, clearly we saw during the series, he's not the same guy that he used to be. He only has one guaranteed year left on his deal. You know, and, I mean, let's be honest, it's clear that Rondo is the future of the team if they don't trade him. I mean, he's been their best and most consistent player throughout the whole playoffs. You know, based on last night, putting up that triple-double, I mean, you can clearly see he took 22 shots, trying to step up a little bit and become an all-around guy. And he's proven to be one of the best point guards in the league. You know, I argue he's top three. The kid is unbelievable. He's still a very young player. So, you know, I have a feeling that, you know, based on everything, Boston, I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they're going to build around him. Doc Rivers coming back, I don't know. You know, he and Rondo, of course, have a history of, you know, kind of butting heads a little bit. You know, what happens with that remains to be seen. Now, what do you think? I want your opinion. I saw KG and I saw Rondo just kind of, you know, walk out. You know, after the game, they didn't really dap up anybody and hug anybody or say anything to the opposing team. So what are your thoughts on them just kind of walking out like that?
I had no problem with it. I actually expected it. Rondo was, I guess, shouldn't be surprised, but I was. I didn't fully expect him, but KG is definitely not a shock. You don't have to be cheering and faking the funk and, you know, like, all right, well, let me just give some love. If you play with that kind of intensity, I mean, put it this way, if you're the type of player when you go into them series and you start talking man shit, I mean, you know, we had already had the game five call out. It was crying to the refs. And you know KG is just all business and not liking them.
Yeah.
And they got a history. You know, Wade and LeBron have a history with those big three Celtics. And you can argue Boston is the reason why these guys joined forces. They couldn't beat Boston separately. Maybe they knew together they could.
Now, LeBron took a lot of heat back when he was with Cleveland. They lost to Orlando, and he did not dap up anybody, and he just left. He took a lot of heat for that. Now, you don't think that KG and Rondo should take a little bit of heat for just not giving him any kind of love at all?
They're going to take some heat always because it's always the whole thing about being a good – about sportsmanship, being a good sport.
That's
and
what
like,
I'm saying.
Yes, the dude took a beating and all that. I mean, clearly you've seen Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and all that was out there doing that. But I don't have a – I guess I'm not as much of a problem if you were really, like, intensely not liking this team.
Okay.
Because, you know, being a Spurs fan, I could totally see when they were playing Dallas – you know, they have man respect, so they shake hands, but I wouldn't be surprised the other way if they were just like, whatever. You know, maybe it's because they were on the road and they knew, you know, confetti going to come down and celebrate, and like, I don't want to be here for that shit. Because that's it sometimes, too. It's not even like I don't necessarily want to shake your hand, but you won, I don't even want to be on your fucking court.
Yeah, I understand.
LeBron tries to come off so nice and it don't bother him and he ain't mad that when it does happen, you're like, what the hell, dude? You're supposed to be nice and... you know, cool, and because he was really the star of the team.
Yeah.
And he didn't do an interview, so it's not like we could have, all right, well, the number two guy come in and do the interview, like, okay, this guy will still carry our attention. There was nobody, like, where's LeBron at?
Yeah.
Oh, he ain't come out? Oh, okay. You know, I get that. I complained about it a bit, but, you know, sometimes, if I'm like, he don't want to shake my hand, all right. Well, maybe I'll holler at him during off season. Whatever. You know, it's not going to carry over when I see the person the next time. It's like, all right, yeah. If I lost, I wouldn't want to shake your hand either.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, in regards to them playing Oklahoma City,
mm-hmm.
who you got?
Well, I'm pulling for Oklahoma City. I'm still mad that they ain't playing the fucking Spurs. You know, that shit hurt.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm pulling for Oklahoma City. I thought going into it that this would be the hardest test for the Spurs, and they didn't pass it. Oklahoma City, I thought one of them two was going to win the championship. Either one of whoever won that series was going to go and win the championship, and I still feel that way. I like Oklahoma City. They have a nice mix. They've been battle-tested. They've just been climbing up the mountain, and it was a year. You can just tell in their body language and everything coming into the year, and Durant and Harden in the off season just scrimmaging and playing a lot of ball, and just being nasty. That you knew they was coming back with that hunger.
I would have to agree with those comments that you just made. I'm also gonna say I'm pulling for Oklahoma City. I think they are gonna come out and win it. Just based off the fact that they have too much size, I believe, for Miami to handle. You know, you got Serge Ibaka, you got Kendrick Perkins, and then you got Nick Collison off the bench also. And then keep in mind also they do have Nazem Muhammad that can throw at him as well. They need extra size. You saw what happened with Rondo in the series. He was just dominating. I mean, what do you think Russell Westbrook is going to do? We'll put D-Wade on him. Okay, well, then who's going to guard Durant? Well, LeBron's going to guard Durant. Well, who's going to guard Harden? Nobody.
It's going to be a nice, interesting matchup. I mean,
And after Serge Ibaka's 11-for-11 game against the Spurs, in my opinion, I mean, you got to respect him. You got to respect his jumper a little bit. You got to respect the fact that he has somewhat of an offensive game. You got a little bit.
They're going to be dangerous. I'll say... if I'm looking at it from both sides, from the opposite end, at least starting five-wise, you know you're going to have Cephalosha on Wade.
Now, do you
put
Cephalosha on Wade or do you put Cephalosha on LeBron?
Now just thinking that. You might – you're probably going to mix it up.
Yeah.
You might put Durant on Wade and have Cephalosha guard – LeBron to start off. Because if they go small, I mean, you still have to have Westbrook on Wade. And
yeah.
Westbrook will guard Wade at some times during the season, the series. Yeah, and I would assume with Perkins, with that lineup of Perkins and Ibaka, that Joel Anthony's going to start. Because, you know, we pretty much should assume that Chris Bosh is going to be starting on Tuesday.
Hey, man. Ibaka's going to have to hold it down.
That's going to be rough. Chalmers is going to have his hands full.
Oh, definitely.
With Russell Westbrook.
Now, the only advantage I really give to Miami is that with the championship round, the format changes, so they do get three straight games at home. I think that is an advantage for Miami. They can take advantage of that. You know, maybe they can make some noise. But I still think Oklahoma City is going to pull it out.
Oklahoma City is a better road team. I mean, they've proven that. Miami's pretty good as well. You know, and they're both good home teams. They're both very hard to beat at home.
That's going to be a fantastic series, boy. Starting Tuesday, folks, make sure you tune in.
Well, there's too many two big advantages that Oklahoma City has over Miami. First one, obviously, is the depth, is they bench.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because clearly you bringing off one of the big three on the bench.
Exactly.
For Oklahoma City.
That should tell you that. Mm-hmm. That should tell you all that. Enough said.
Yeah, they'll probably put Battier on Harden. At the close, you know, during the close of the game, you know what they got? Nick Collison off the bench,
Eric Fisher,
and then you said Nazi Muhammad.
Bring him off if they want to.
And
I mean, they still got pieces. They got pieces, and they're young, man, and they can run just as much as Miami can.
Another thing I was gonna say is their size.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, you know Perkins. I mean, who's guarding Perkins?
To Joel.
Yeah, and then you come with, you know, they have a real big size lineup advantage with Ibaka, Perkins, and Collison.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's not, you know, when they were playing in Boston, once KG's out, there is no shot blocking. There's no anybody intimidating in the paint. Two good shot blockers. You know, one of them who was, you know, led the league in blocks.
They have a very good perimeter defender.
Yeah.
It's going to be a series, boy. I can't wait.
Yeah. I think one big key in that series will be who commits the least amount of turnovers. Because these are the two teams in the league that if you turn the ball over, it's a score in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So it has the potential to get – we can get to both teams going for 120. Whoever – you know, you have periods where teams are just getting sloppy and it's going to be a lot of dunks.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of energy.
Going to be unbelievable.
One cool thing about this is this, you can see this matchup happening the next 3 years, the next 3-4 years. And whoever wins this, however this series turns out, these are the teams that are going to be picked to come back next year. Now, unless Oklahoma City just sweeps Miami, they're not blowing the team up. I mean, you've gotten to the dance 2 times. So clearly something's working.
Something's working, but if they lose again, something ain't working.
If LeBron plays the way he's played all playoffs, which is probably his best playoffs season ever, I'm not going to fault him. Now, if he makes, you know, sloppy turnovers and misses key free throws and makes bad decisions down the stretch like he did, you know, last year, then, yes, he can be open to some criticism.
Well, I mean, at this point in the playoffs right now, I can't fault LeBron for anything. You know, he's been playing well for Miami, been doing his thing. So, I mean, you have to give credit where credit's due, and you got to show LeBron love. You know, he's been doing everything he can for this team. I mean, shoot, the man averaged 30 and 12, which is, I mean, shoot, that's big man numbers right there. So, I mean, he's doing his thing. So, he's done everything he can to keep this team in it. Like you said, he came with the 45-point game against Boston in Game 6. That was huge. So, I mean, I can't doubt him at this point.
No, I don't doubt his ability. It's, his problem is this is it. This is where you know you're expected to get here. If you're a team that's that good and you lose in the championship round and you're pretty much the same team again coming in, you have a healthier year. You add Shane Battier. You know, you have a year already through it, and you're already picked to repeat and come back to the damn finals. This is it. So what he's done to this point, can't nobody knock him. This dude has been the best player in the playoffs, the best player on his team. There is no argument right now.
Not at all.
No, we haven't seen the 06 D-Wade really at all, outside of that game where he went for 40 after, you know, putting up like that 5-point stinker. Whatever, after that awful game, he's let LeBron be LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, so it's up to him, too, because now a lot of that blame will shift towards him.
That is,
and then, of course,
point.
It's going. Yeah, and it's going to be spread around. I mean, Bosch has been hurt, but now he seems to be healthy, so we'll see how that goes. But he, because of that injury keeping him out that long, he might get a little bit of a pass. The role players, I mean, the way Miami played against Boston, they cannot repeat. They have to play a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Your role players giving you nothing, that can't happen. I mean, LeBron is going to do him, and he's going to leave it all out on the court. But if you're going to expect – if it's going to be your two guys, or maybe you're fine, your three guys doing every damn thing, that's not going to work.
They're going to lose.
Y'all got three. They got three, plus Ibaka, plus Derek Fisher. You know, once you get past the team's best three players, I mean, most of the rest of the top – is all on Oklahoma City.
Oh, definitely. Without question.
And the youth it's not a factor. They're young in terms of age-wise, but they've been playing. You know, you don't have to lose in the playoffs like 5-6 straight years before you get to win.
That's a good point.
You know, you had the first round. And look at Kevin Durant. First year he comes in, they butt. Second year, they a little bit better, but they still root butt. Third year, lose a close series with the Lakers, and then people are already predicting them to go to the finals the next year. They get to the Western Conference, lose to Dallas in a tough series, and I think they learned a lot from that. And now I think they actually learned a lot beating the Spurs. Just knowing that learning just to having to execute and not take plays off and just moving the ball well. You didn't see a lot of sloppy turnovers. Westbrook's not turning the ball over like he did. You don't hear any of that really. You know, none of that drama. Oh, can he run point and can he handle the ball?
Yeah, Scott Brooks has proven to be a really good coach.
Yes, he's made the plays. He's made the adjustments, you know, to be the coach of the year. You know, arguably the best coach in the NBA right now. And he's proven. I mean, he's done his part. They all have. I mean, Spoelstra's dealt with it. We criticized him. We were like, is his job in jeopardy? And unfortunately, his job is still in jeopardy. Unfortunately, but it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Tuesday.
Oh, I can't wait.
Out west.
That's right.
Tim, get your popcorn ready. Get the happy hour. Get your beer. Get your drink. Whatever works. And, you know, have your kids around because, you know, they're going to watch the game.
Yeah, man. They're going to watch two of the best players in the league, arguably the top two players in the league right now. Going at it.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla!
Yeah. I make it move like I want to move with them horns. Let them play with them strings while I spit the life for kings. Put a cud in it, stud with it, we at it. Dudes that was meant to have it. Fans want to reach out and grab it. I'm just an ordinary man with an unordinary lifestyle. Seen early I would live as a child. I was conceived a mistake. But through God is really all it take for me to be born and make the earth shake. This was raised from the bottom. So before them plain clothes got them, soak up the four square mouths to pop them. It's me in the flesh, here to put them rumors to rest and let you celebrate hip-hop's best. From the womb to the tomb, hit the game real soon with a tune that's gonna take sun straight to the moon. Ted Al, see it's my turn now. All competitors bow, all you're saying is wow.
All I know is the way it gotta go and everything it takes to hold me down. All I see is the way it gotta be. If you came to see me, hit the town. This is my vibe, the way I survive.
Think about
got the pedigree to own a whole catalog. All I'm saying is, don't sleep on me, dog. I really walk them streets there, school them young wolves. CL is slay anything in his way, okay? It's all about the aura I project, that ultimate connect, and how you see me as a man of respect, right? So it's like a mutual agreement. All your feet is in the cement. Learn the rules, let you earn your pay, sure. Nosy than you think of what it cost me, to how the world forced me to kill them softly, baby. How the music sound from the basement, and how the work bless me. Who let you see the fame don't impress me, dig it? Why it's cut from a different cloth, blood to set it off. Keep a real nice piece in the loft, easy. Anytime you can hold your head, then you can hold some bread and relate to what CL said. Yes.
Welcome back to the Brothers Lane of Sports Happy Hour. Thanks for joining us. Now, I didn't have the privilege of seeing what went down on Saturday.
I didn't either, with the Pacquiao-Bradley pay-per-view. Keyword is pay, which is why I didn't get a chance to see it.
I know. I was worn out that day. I had some place I can go to. I was just whipped. And, you know, I'm just following on the news and on Twitter, and everybody's just like, oh, Pacquiao's just doing his thing. Like, okay, well, I ain't missing nothing. All right.
That's what I thought, too.
And next thing you know, it was like, bow. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, Twitter was blowing up. People were going crazy. Like, I can't believe Pacquiao lost. And I'm like, Pacquiao lost? I thought y'all said he was whooping him up the whole fight.
Right. I mean, to pull a split decision that, you know, some people in the cards had it 10-2, not even close.
Yeah, in favor of Pacquiao. And, I mean, what I saw, the AP had Pacquiao winning. So I don't know what the heck happened, but the conspiracies are out there.
Oh yeah, I mean I saw when people were just like, oh, this is it for boxing. Boxing is just done. It's cheating. Like, how the hell is this a split decision where you watching the fight? Who's got who hand in who pocket? What's up?
Yeah, I heard one conspiracy today. I guess Manny Pacquiao's promoter promotes both him and Bradley, and I guess apparently the promoter, I guess, really doesn't want Pacquiao to fight Floyd. So I've heard that, you know, this was in essence a situation to keep that from happening. And a rematch between Bradley and Pacquiao is already scheduled for November, which Pacquiao's probably going to win, sure. But I don't know, man. I didn't get a chance to see it, unfortunately. You know, saw a couple highlights, but what I saw, it looked like Pacquiao was doing his thing. So I don't know what happened.
I just want to watch it just so I can watch the last, just a little bit of the fight and then the ending. I have to see the ending so I can see everybody's reaction. But wow, I thought the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight pretty much wasn't gonna happen. I mean, it was like, what's going to come first, that, or are we going to get the Detox album? I don't know which one was going to come first. But it's still shocking. I mean, that it wasn't really happening. The longer it went on, you know, the more likely it wasn't going to happen. Now, it looked dead.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way it could happen is if, you know, Pacquiao comes back and just beats the crap out of this dude. And just, he'd have to beat the crap out of him and then come back and be like, Mayweather, give me we fighting. I want you. What's up? You're going to hear the conspiracy. I'm sure I missed it, but I'm sure on Monday, Skip Bayless going to be like, oh, well, now it seems like Mayweather doesn't have to worry about getting his ass beat by Pacquiao. You know all that's coming. Like,
Yeah,
I'm going to want to see that fight. But, after, you know, after a while, you're like, it ain't happening.
They're just gonna keep scheduling
shit. I was hoping if they'd go 60-40 or however they need to make it work, but dude, this is why I don't buy. No, I don't watch boxing like that. I mean, I don't know how much it's gonna affect the sport because it seems like most of the people only watch two or three fights. You only pay for the big ones.
I only know very few actual boxing watchers and boxing fans.
It's not as it once was, and now we got MMA.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is terrible.
No, awful. And so we're going to move on from some bad news to even more bad news. I'm sure some of you guys, I'm sure most of you, heard about the shooting that took place on Auburn's campus this past weekend. Unfortunately, two of the former players who played for the team died, you know, both young kids, you know, 20 years old, 19 years old. Another one is wounded in the hospital, and apparently there were other college students on campus who were fatally shot in the shooting as well. So, you know, rest in peace to those guys, and, you know, prayers go out to all of their families. But sad day for college football. It's a sad day for their families, and, you know, we wish the best for all their families in the future.
Definitely. Once prayers go out to their family and friends. It's just sad news. You know,
yeah.
Sad news for people who like going to college. You know,
yeah.
Just being a 19, 20-year-old, you hanging out, and all of a sudden just shots fired at a party.
And for what I was reading and hearing, it was over a girl? Come
yeah,
on.
For all those people who like to say that men don't have emotions, this is the opposite end of that. Dudes get stupid and just want to pull out heat. That was when somebody threw a punch, somebody hit them head with the bottle, and
these are the results we get.
Yeah, you know, why are you coming in the party with heat? Because clearly they want to do something. Why would you, what did the motherfucker say to you to make you want to, like, hit somebody over the head with a bottle? Over what? Over your, was this your girl? Was this your wife?
Yeah, seriously.
This your mama?
This
some girl you date? I don't know.
I mean, you know.
I don't know, but I'm, stuff like that, like, really? Come on,
I mean,
man.
My goodness.
And you know how many lives you affect? Not even just the people who got shot, but everybody at the party, the campus.
Yeah, man. Even your own, dude. Now you're a family, too.
Yeah, now you're scared. Oh, do I help my kid go out at night? Even though they're 19, 20, are they going to go somewhere and, you know, something like this is going to happen? Just wrong place, wrong time?
No, that's the worry as a parent. You know, you always worry that your kid might be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and unfortunately for some of these parents, their kids were. And unfortunately, you know, the shooter I was reading about is, you know, a young guy himself. I'm 25 years old. I mean, it's a shame, you know, seeing these young kids, you know, die at such a young age and going to jail. At some point, this stuff's got to stop, man.
It does. I don't know what it's going to take, but we just have to get smarter with that.
Yeah.
There's no need for stuff like that to go on.
And I'm not trying to be biased or, you know, anything, but, you know, at the same note, it does hurt that, you know, the shooter plus, you know, some of these kids that died are African-American males and young African-American males, who knows with certain guidance in their lives, you know, could have gone on to do other things, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's really sad to see. But yeah, once again, our prayers go out to the family and friends and all those in Auburn.
Definitely.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Happy Hour. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, let's take a little bit of a roll right now to another sport. We're going to move on into the NFL. Got some news about Rob Gronkowski signed to a 6-year extension. The young man got $16.5 million guaranteed, you know. You know, congrats to him. Good job. You know, I mean, he earned it. He earned every penny of it. You know, as a tight end, he proved last year that, shoot, in my opinion, he's the best tight end in the league. Had 90 catches, you know, over 1,300 yards and 17 touchdowns. I mean, those are just stupid numbers, especially for a tight end. Those are wide receiver type numbers. And I mean, you got this cat putting up these kind of numbers. I mean, he's 6'6", 265. He can run. You know, he can block. He's an all-around tight end. In my opinion, like I said, I think he's the best in the league.
Oh, Robert Kelsey balled out. I had him on my fantasy team. He at least delivered
lucky
on
you.
His part. But, yeah, he was the richest quarter contract for a tight end. I mean, he was killing. It was like he would get two touchdowns every game.
He earned it.
Yeah, he played very well. And he's jumped to the top of the list as the best tight end in the game. He can do it all. Patriots are doing their thing. They trying to lock it up. I know Wes Welker wants to be like, all right, when is it my turn? Am I going to get some money?
I mean, I know it was a little unusual, you know. I mean, the Gronkowski is only going into his third year. You know, most young dudes don't get a nice big extension at that young of an age. But like I said, the man earned it. Wes Welker's getting a little bit old, you know, so. And we all know how it goes in the NFL. Once you start hitting, you know, getting on up there in age, you know, they don't want to pay you as much. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but you got this dude. You got Aaron Hernandez on the other end. Wes Welker, Brandon Lloyd. They're gonna be dangerous.
Yeah, they're gonna be dangerous. See, they got rid of Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah, he's looking for work, man. What's up with the deeper wide receivers? You know, the whole Terrell Owens getting cut from his team, and they gave him took away his ownership privileges.
I mean, you see it all the time. You know, these guys who come in, you know, they think they're holier than thou. You know, and in all honesty, unless you're putting up the numbers, you know, nobody's going to want to deal with you. You know, Terrell Owens, in his prime, I mean, as much as an ass as he was putting up numbers. He was a beast. And, you know, guys kind of dealt with it because he was so dominant. But, I mean, after a while, it does seem to get tired. If you look at the top receivers in the league last year, most of them are good guys. They're not knuckleheads. You know, you look at Calvin Johnson, of course. You know, Victor Cruz came out and had a big year. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best receivers. Andre Johnson is one of the best receivers. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy Graham popped out last year for the Saints. Good guy. You know, Roddy White came out. Jordy Nelson had a good year. You know, really, I was looking at the stats. The only real diva you have that was in the top 10 as far as receiving is Brandon Marshall. And we all seen how his career is starting to turn out. Got bounced out of Denver, you know, went to Miami, wasn't really doing anything there, got shipped out to Chicago. You know, he's reunited with Jay Cutler now, so we'll see how that ends up happening.
I think
you're starting to see a lot less of the diva receivers. I think it's getting to a point now. You see guys, you know, back in the day, you see guys like a Keyshawn Johnson, like a Randy Moss, who are beasting and at the same time are talking all this smack and, you know, Terrell Owens and having that diva, you know, way. So, I mean, you know, kids are going to grow up and want to emulate that. But, I mean, you're starting to see guys like an Andre Johnson, you know, like a Larry Fitzgerald, like a Calvin Johnson. These guys who are just good dudes. They're solid all-around guys on and off the field, you know, and they're putting up these monstrous numbers. You know, they're getting their endorsement deals, you know, and then guys see that and then they want to be like that, you know. So I'm happy to see that, you know, the divas are starting to go away. Personally, I like Chad Ochocinco. I really didn't consider him. I mean, you can say he's a diva. I more so look at him as a guy who, he was an entertainer. You know, he liked to have fun, liked to have a good time. I personally enjoyed his little dances and, you know, his little things that he would do after he scored. I personally enjoyed it. You know, I thought it was fun for the game. Divas, you know, at some point, you're not wanted anymore. You look at the wide receivers who have had long careers with their teams, they weren't divas. Jerry Rice was with the 49ers pretty much throughout his entire career until he got to the very, very back end of his career. Chris Carter, he started his career with the Eagles, but, you know, he lasted with the Vikings for a long time throughout the remainder of his career, second best receiver in the league. So, I mean, you look at these guys who are good dudes, good all-around dudes, and, you know, when you're a good guy, guys want you around, teams are going to want to keep you. But if you're talking all that smack, especially if you're not producing, you're getting cut. Especially in football. In football, you come a dime a dozen. You ain't producing, we'll gladly go out and get somebody who can replace you.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Do you think either one of them is going to be signed going into the season?
Yes. I think Chad Ochocinco will get a contract only because it came out that, of course, you know, he was having some issues learning the playbook for New England. You know, and based off the way New England plays, I can kind of understand. You know, it seems like they do kind of have a little complex offense. You know, most of the players who were there have been there for, you know, at least a couple of years or two. You know, have gotten used to playing with Tom Brady. You know, Chad just kind of came out of the blue. Things didn't work out. But I think personally, I think Chad still has talent. I read a report that said, you know, I guess Miami might be interested in him, you know, and he was interested in wanting to play for Miami. They need a number one receiver, you know, and he has a house down in Florida. So I think that might be a match made in heaven. I think that's kind of where it's going to go. But, you know, as far as him just, he might sign, but is he going to be productive? That's another thing. That I don't know. Now, as far as Terrell Owens goes, he's completely done. I thought T.O. was done after the last year he had in Cincinnati. I thought he should have hung it up then. At this point, you know it's bad and you know you're done when you own a team, you're co-owner of a team, and the co-owner gives you your money back and says, you know what, never mind, we don't want you as owner of the team anymore. That's when you know it's bad and you're done. You got to hang it up.
Yeah, it was very shocking. I mean, he's supposedly not even showing up to team functions, and it's just bad.
But I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, I expect him to try a little better.
Well, come on. I mean, it's T.O. We've all seen how the man has acted throughout his entire career, crying about his quarterback, get your popcorn ready, had the whole Sharpie incident, you know, had the whole incident about him, you know, overdosing. The man is just a drama wherever he goes. He's played for so many different teams. I mean, you know, everybody remembers the incident where, you know, he didn't come out and call Jeff Garcia gay, but come on, we all know what he meant. He's bounced around the league. I mean, nobody wants to deal with his nonsense. He's done.
Yeah, I give it to him. At least he tried when he was in Cincinnati and Buffalo, just kind of kept it under the radar and just played. You know, but this, you know, anytime you go out for one of those the other football leagues, because it's basically the NFL and the other football leagues, you go out for one of them, unless you're putting up super numbers. But even if that, they're like, oh, wow, I guess you can't, nobody wants you. And then to crap out like that is sucks.
I think the perfect thing for T.O. earlier in his career, in my opinion, I don't know if people remember, but before he went to Philadelphia, he actually was supposed to go to the Ravens. And I think had he gone to the Ravens, been traded to the Ravens, Ray Lewis would have nipped all that in the butt real quick, told him to knock it off, and would have really probably made a difference in his career. I don't know. But I think that would have been good for him. Other than that, though, the man has no hope. He's done.
Speaking of the Ravens and wide receivers, Derek Mason looks like he's going to head into retirement. He's going to retire a Raven.
Nice. Good job.
15 years in the NFL with Baltimore. He was a solid receiver.
Yeah, he had some solid years in the league. He was a very good receiver for Baltimore for a long time. Good receiver with Tennessee as well. So, again, sad to see him go. You know, he's a good player. I watched him throughout his career, and I hope the future holds nothing but good things for him.
Hey, man, the NFL is not too far away. Once training camp starts and getting that fever, this is what happens when I get to the last series in the NBA. You know, it's a love-hate because I love it because this is when all of it matters, but now I don't get games every day. Now it's in between, and you start getting that feeling like, uh-oh, about to have that lull.
Yeah, you have that point in the summertime where there's not really much going on except baseball. Let's go White Sox. You know, NFL is coming up soon. The NFL draft will be, NBA draft will be coming up soon. So we got some things to talk about coming up in the near future. The closer we do get to NFL season, we will be letting you guys know that we will be giving you guys a little bit of information on the fantasy league, you know, giving you guys our opinions or whatnot. So if you got a fantasy league that you know you're going to be in, you know, tune in. Might come across some valuable tips that might be able to help you in your draft.
Oh, yeah, the sports never stops.
Oh, never.
Shoot, speaking of that, Tiger winning. You know, once Tiger win, had a nice comeback. Tied Jack Nicklaus for, you know, most wins.
I'm happy for the man, you know. He went through his lot. He did what dealt with his drama and, you know, got all the criticism in the world. You know, got hated on and crapped on. So I think he's dealt with all that he's needed to deal with. You know, I think his focus is back on the golf course now. And I think we're never going to see the Tiger of old when he was just killing. I don't think we'll ever see that Tiger again. But I think he's going to start, you know, winning again.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you that. You think, you know, brother's like, Tiger back. You know, and I'm like, it's a good win. It's a solid
win. It's just one win.
Right.
But I think he's heading in the right direction. I think he'll start winning a little bit more. But like I said, we're not going to see the Tiger of old where he was just dominating every single match. No.
No, he's not going to win majors at the rate he used to win. I mean, he used to just win like 2-3 every year.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't think we're going to see that anymore.
Nah, he can still get to Nicholas's number. All he needs to do is win one.
Yep.
You know, all of that, he needs 7-8. Can he win one? Whichever one comes up next, I'm going to be like, oh, he's favored.
Yeah.
This major coming in? Tiger brings in the money. So Tiger winning is good for golf.
It is, good always.
Good for every golfer's pockets.
Also got to show some love to the LA Kings, even though they've lost two in a row. You know, unfortunately, they lost on the road for the first time in the playoffs. So I don't know what's going on. Let's hope they can pull it out, do LA proud, and bring home the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I hope for their sake they do. They home and they winning it. And, you know, when they lost game four, it's like, oh, that's all right. Well, they'll do better. And then next game, like, well, they'll be all right. And like, dude, this is not cool.
This is not good.
You know, they lost at home game four. Okay. You know, well, they're undefeated on the road. They're great at on the road. And they lose on the road. Well, maybe they weren't tripping. Maybe game six is the one. Like, dude, you're giving the team life.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's bring that Stanley Cup to LA. I don't know when another one will come, but you bring that one. There are some hockey fans out here.
Oh, definitely. Everybody thinks there aren't any, but I mean, we have some hockey fans out here. Very few, but we have some.
Yeah, you've got some.
Actually, you know what? There are actually quite a few, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, there are a lot of loyal Kings fans. I know there's been a lot of people in LA who've jumped on the Kings bandwagon because of this year. But, yeah, there are a lot of Kings fans, a lot of diehard Kings fans.
Oh, yeah,
so,
definitely.
You know, congratulations to y'all. I know how much it means when you've been pulling for your team and they haven't been winning for a while, and all of a sudden you can taste it. You can taste the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a great feeling.
Yep.
We want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Brother Layman Sports Happy Hour. You can find us at www.blackisonline.com. You can also find us on Stitcher and iTunes. Please leave ratings or comments. Let us know. You want to contact us, you can email us at thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter @brotherslayman. Or you can call our hotline at 323-455-4219.
Hey, thank you for listening tonight. Hope you guys have a great evening. Have a great week. And please tune in the next time. And once again, from Jonathan and Chris, this is the Brothers Layman Happy Hour. We'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Thanks for tuning in.
Holla.
Overlooking the gold air right now. See the skyline. It's all mine, man. Mayor of my city, Richard M. Daley, feeling like Chicago Larry. Look at all these pretty ladies. See, the good ones want my number, the bad ones want my baby. Shit, I probably hit them all once all this liquor drive me crazy. They probably think I'm balling all these bottles on the table, but the club owner would rather get us drunk than try and pay us. Excuse my French, but fuck you if you hate. And see, the goal of every night is try and get your woman naked. See, I'm something like a scumbag, something like a douche. Every morning catch amnesia, I'm forgetting what I do. My mama be proud, but she know these girls is loose. She know her son is tight, understatement of the year. And you never heard a nerd quite like this here. Ain't no telling what's gonna happen once I finish this beer. Magic man David Blaine, make your woman disappear. Disappear, disappear.
I always knew when I grew up I'd be a star. You're destined to go far. I just only let that I go hard, go hard. I want it now. I ain't gonna stop till I get it. Want it now. There ain't no stopping, no quitting. Want it now. I ain't
sour chicken out, dudes putting out chicken scratch rhymes, so we don't know what we looking at. Brutus the barber, beefcake cuts on pretty girl mixed mutts at the National Harbor Bay. 10th of July, fireworks still in the sky. As we truncate time, I never pump fake. Open the gates, greatness awaits. This is destiny, we all up in these hills called Beverly. If you want, keep in touch, you better yell at me. I levitate on Bama so they can't step on me. Effortlessly, we are headed to the top. While you hitting every bump in the road with no shots. Tabby Benet, let it ride.